The 2018 book, The Overstory, by Richard Powers, features the glory and downfall of the American chestnut and its place in this nation's history. Here's an excerpt from the audiobook read by Suzanne Torin.
The chestnuts up north were majestic, but the southern trees are gods. They form near-pure stands for miles on end. In the Carolinas, boles older than America grow 10 feet wide and 120 feet tall. Whole forests of them flower in rolling clouds of white.
But then a century ago, the iconic American chestnut all but vanished after a blight took down about 4 billion of these giants. Now researchers are moving forward with a genetically engineered tree that allows chestnuts to survive the blight. The Allegheny Front's Julie Grant has the story.
Mike Ockett has been spending a lot of time in the woods this fall.
Here I am in the Allegheny National Forest.
The retired scientist walks over the rocky soil. It's covered with low bush blueberries.
And this is the kind of place where you tend to find remnant surviving Americans.
American chestnuts were once common here. They were some of the largest, fastest growing, and useful trees. The wood was rot resistant and used in everything from cradles to coffins. The nuts inspired holiday songs and fed wildlife and people. When American chestnuts succumbed to the blight, at least 5 species of insect went extinct. American chestnuts still grow in the forest. Ockett finds one that 2 years ago produced nuts, but the top of the tree now looks dead.
That shows that the blight is getting into it.
What people call the blight is a fungus that was brought to the U.S. when chestnut trees were first imported from China and Japan. The fungus produces an acid in the tree, and while Asian varieties are adapted to fight it off, the acid creates a lethal canker on American chestnuts. People who want to see a tower in the eastern forests again have faced decades of disappointment. The roots continue to sprout and start to grow.
And as it grows, it'll get the blight again. Get killed down again. And it's stuck in this cycle. Eventually, the roots run out of energy and the whole tree dies.
William Powell has been working to restore the American chestnut at the State University of New York in Syracuse for 35 years. He says people have been trying for much longer than that to make a hybrid chestnut that's resistant to the blight.
I've seen papers all the way back to the 1920s and, you know, hybridizing it with the Japanese chestnut, the Chinese chestnut, trying to make blight-resistant trees. But no success. None of them have been successful getting it back out into the wild.
So Powell and his colleagues turned to genetic engineering. People have heard of GMO corn and soy. Well, these researchers figured out that a gene in the wheat plant enhances resistance to the fungus that causes the blight. So they've added that gene to the cells of the American chestnut.
And this gene makes an enzyme that actually detoxifies the acid that the fungus throws at the plant. And by giving the tree the ability to make this enzyme, you basically take away or neutralize the weapon of the fungus. And therefore, the fungus and the tree can coexist.
Powell and his team have successfully grown test plots of genetically engineered American chestnuts in New York, Pennsylvania, and Virginia. Currently, these GMO trees are federally regulated and are required to be cut before they flower. Powell wants his trees approved so they can mature and reproduce. USDA is currently accepting public comments about it. He says the process has taken 5 years, much longer than he anticipated.
I get emails all the time, people wanting these trees. You know, they want to plant them on their property. And I just have to keep telling them, well, once we get through the process, then you'll be able to get to those trees.
It's just so reckless. What's the rush?
This is Ann Peterman, director of the Global Justice Ecology Project, which has developed a coalition of hundreds of groups worldwide opposed to genetically engineered trees. Other GMO trees have been developed for commercial production, like freeze-tolerant eucalyptus for biofuels that could survive in the southeastern U.S., and a poplar tree in China genetically altered for insect resistance. Peterman says the GMO American chestnut is designed not for farms, but to spread through forests. She worries this could have unintended consequences for the ecosystem.
It would be the first GMO plant in the world to be released with the intention of spreading in the wild. So how will that work out over time? What will be the impact on the future generations of these genetically engineered trees? Again, no one knows.
Ann Peterman worries that GMO American chestnut could be a Trojan horse, the first GMO tree approved in the U.S.
That precedent, of course, then makes it a lot easier to get other genetically engineered trees approved.
Sarah Fitzsimmons disagrees.
People saying this is a rubber stamp for other species, it's not.
She's director of restoration for the American Chestnut Foundation and is a research technologist at Penn State.
You know, the USDA takes two or more years for every application to carefully consider all the consequences of a decision that it makes.
The foundation plants hybrids through the eastern U.S., including Pennsylvania, but Fitzsimmons says it's not been enough to restore the trees. So they support the genetically engineered, also called transgenic, American chestnut.
I am not of the opinion that transgenic American chestnuts are going to save and restore the species on its own, but it is an incredibly important tool, you know, not just for American chestnut, but for other native species.
But some Native American groups oppose that. Their ancestors used the chestnut's bark to build longhouses, the leaves for medicine and the nuts for flour. B.J. McManama of the Indigenous Environmental Network believes genetic engineering is just another example of humans trying to dominate nature.
We need to leave the forest alone as much as possible. The forest will recover. These ecosystems will recover if we quit taking things from these forests that we absolutely do not need.
Back at the Allegheny National Forest, chestnut enthusiast Mike Alkett sees it differently.
If we don't act responsibly using the best tools that we have, things are going to get worse. They're not going to get better if we just let nature take its course, because I think the days of doing that, unfortunately, are over.
The USDA is accepting public comment on the genetically engineered American chestnut until October 19. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Julie Grant.
There will be more opportunity for the public to weigh in as the proposal winds its way through several federal agencies.